Good morning. Here on The Takeaway, this is Celeste Headlee and Todd Zwick joining me again, filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
Well, 10 days, I mean, Todd, you were saying yesterday, 10 days seems like a really short time to rewrite, rework Egypt's constitution, right?
It does. It seems like lightning speed, really.
But, you know, we wanted to take a step back and see if it really is as fast as it sounds. We're going to welcome somebody who actually knows something about it, what exactly is going on with the constitution in Egypt, Micah Wahid Hanna, fellow at the Century Foundation, has written about the constitutional process in Egypt. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to kind of get a grip. We're hearing as little dribbles of information coming out in Egypt about what's going on. And we heard that they did elect they appointed a judge to head this commission in charge of amending the constitution. What do we know about this guy?
Well, Tahr el-Bishri is a respected jurist. He's something of a public intellectual in Egypt. He's regarded as being somewhat sympathetic to the Muslim Brotherhood, but not a member by any stretch. So he's someone who is a known commodity. He's been critical of the Brotherhood. He's also been critical of the Coptic Church, and that's raised some concerns among Egypt's Christians. But he's a, you know, he's a well-known figure, and it indicates that the army is looking beyond to a recognized jurist in Egyptian society.
So that's kind of a good sign, right, that he's been appointed to head this commission?
It is. No. He's a competent man and eminently qualified to do the job. The bigger concerns are, from my perspective, what he is tasked with doing.
Well, let's get into that further. Exactly how many things? They already have a constitution that in place as it is. So what exactly, how much of that they're expecting to either amend or get rid of altogether?
Well, it looks like now we're talking only about limited amendments. And this looks to be something to get us to elections. So we're not talking about a thoroughgoing reform of the constitution. That could be a problem, or it might not be. Again, it's hard to know because we don't know, sort of, we're taking strands of information and it's somewhat incoherent at the moment, and it's not clear if there's a broader plan. If we're looking at a process that is intended simply to allow for free and fair elections, which is what these amendments that are being discussed concentrate on, and then looking to a more thoroughgoing process of reform once there is an elected legitimate government in place, that would be okay, but we just don't know at the moment. And so it's a little bit unclear what the military has in mind. And that gets us to another problem in that the military is still calling these shots. And it would be nice to see some civilian oversight of some of these critical tasks coming up.
So, Michael, as this process gets started, is there any chance? I hearken back to the United States. We have a process here called a constitutional convention. It's not often used, but they always say if you open that up, you can't really control the process. They might wind up amending a lot of things. It's not just your flag-burning amendment, for instance. Any chance in Egypt that once this process starts, it starts to snowball, and it's not just limited, and it really gets into big rewrites?
Well, this current process looks to be very tightly controlled, focused on very few amendments to get to an electoral process.
Can they keep it that way, though? That's my question.
Well, I think there should be, and I think there are voices now coming out saying that this is a revolution. And in a revolutionary moment, you go back and you have the opportunity to rework the basic architecture of the country. And, you know, I think that is a positive approach. And, you know, 10 men in a room, it does not an inclusive process make. And so I think it would be very worthwhile to see a more open, transparent, inclusive process going forward, because this is a very imperfect document and does not represent any sort of legitimate social compact between the Egyptian people and its government. So I think going forward, it would be a good step if we had an approach, an inclusive approach to constitutional reform, more akin to an open process like you mentioned.
Well, we're talking to Micah Wahid Hanna, a fellow at the Century Foundation, about the amendment to Egypt's constitution. But many people would say that America's constitution at this point is still in some ways an imperfect document. That's why we're asking you if you would make any amendments to the American constitution, what would they be? You can call us at 877-8-MYTAKE. But, Michael, I want to go more into this idea of the imperfect document. We don't really entirely know how well this constitution has functioned, though, right? Because they haven't really used it. They've been in an emergency law for 30 years or so. I mean, we don't know.
No, it's definitely true. I mean, many of the constitutions in the Arab world are perfectly decent documents for the most part. They just haven't been respected. I would say that this document itself, the Egyptian constitution as written, even if fully respected, does raise some questions about concentration.
All right, so tell me your questions. In which ways do you think that it's imperfect?
Well, I think it concentrates executive power, and there is not a very clear check and balance between the executive branch and parliament. There are, since Sadat introduced them, questions about the role of Sharia. There's Article 2, which makes Islam the official religion of the state, and makes Sharia a principal source of legislation. In practice, this is vague. It hasn't actually had a big impact on how jurisprudence is practiced in Egypt, but symbolically it's important. And there are voices now calling for a truly secular state. This is controversial. This isn't anything that garners across-the-board support. But I think it's an important issue that needs to be discussed. And this process currently underway is going to eschew discussion of some of these more controversial issues and structural issues to focus on elections. But I think in the near future, it would be very worthwhile to have a nationwide conversation about what Egyptians would like their country to look like.
I should say, I mean, there's very little information coming out about this entire process, and I'm sure I haven't even gotten all of it. But what the limited information I've seen makes it sound as though the military is keeping things very controlled and very limited because they only want to deal with the elections portions of the Constitution. Is that your impression as well?
Well, there's two competing imperatives. In one sense, it's nice to see that they're focusing on transition, saying we want elections in 6 months and we're going to cede power back to civilian authority. That's reassuring. But of course, you don't want it to be done in a process that's hasty and overlooks some important opportunities before the Egyptian people.
Can they get at least the election portion of it done to the amending the Constitution in 10 days?
Yes, I think so, because these are well-known amendments. They were talked about. They've been talked about for weeks now. So to get a change to get to real elections shouldn't be a huge task.
That's actually comforting news from Michael Wahid Hanna. He's a fellow at the Century Foundation, has written about the constitutional process in Egypt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.